2 of Welcome Home. That's why you see this beautiful furniture up here today. You're in our living room, and we just want you to feel welcome. We just got this snazzy 1970s stuff going on. Some of you are going, ah, it was my couch, or my mom and dad's couch. We got a walker up here and some knitting needles in case you get bored. Hopefully you won't get bored while I'm preaching, but some people do. So we're just kind of talking about acceptance was last week, welcome home. This is a place where you belong. Our second phrase for this series is kick off your shoes and stay a while. And next Sunday we're going to be talking about kicking off our shoes and staying a while. Today we're talking about belonging. Home is a place you belong. So last week, acceptance. We realized that God is the God of acceptance, not rejecting. He's not a rejecting God, he's an accepting God. Some people think God's main function is rejection, but it's not. His main function is acceptance. He says he's not willing that anybody would perish, but everybody would come to repentance. God's that way. And we talked about what he did on the cross, and we talked about several of those things. And we concluded with this story about the prodigal son, the lost son. Talked about Luke 15, of the three lost things, the lost sheep, and the lost coin, and then the lost son. And we just said, God is looking for those that are missing. And they're valuable. He loves them. They are a priority for the Lord. He goes after them. And then with the lost son, we see that there's the relationship that God longs to have restored. Not only are you welcome, you're so wanted, you're so accepted. And we're going to start off there today. The father in the prodigal son story represents God, and the son represents you and me. And when we come to God, God's waiting for us. God is accepting of us. God says, welcome home. But it wasn't just you're accepted. It was you belong here. The son came with the whole thought of, I don't really qualify to be your son. I've done bad things. I've dishonored you. I don't really qualify. If you would just give me a little bit, I'll be happy. If you could just let me work for you and feed me, I'll be happy. But God said, you belong here as a son, not as a servant, as a son. So what did the dad do? Dad said, go get the best robe in the estate, you know, the best robe on the premises, go get it and bring it to my son and put it on him. Can you imagine the clothes he was wearing? Can you imagine how he must have looked and smelt after being in a land of famine, having no money, no shower, no bathing? His clothes were ragged. He'd been feeding pigs. Can you imagine how he looked and smelt? And his dad said, bring the best robe. He didn't say, take him off and give him a shower. He didn't say that. He didn't say, let's perfume him for 3 months and get that smell off of him like they did Queen Esther for a year, you know, or something. He didn't say that. He says, go get the robe and put it on him. See, this is the belonging. You're not just accepted, woohoo, you're home. Come on, let's go eat. He didn't just do that. It says, you belong. And this robe signifies you're my son. This robe signifies you're part of the family. This robe signifies you belong here. He didn't just stop with the robe, did he? He said, go get the ring and put the ring on his finger. And a ring, anybody have a ring on? I got one on my left hand, on that finger right there. You know what do you think that ring signifies? I belong to somebody, and I belong somewhere. If you're someplace you shouldn't be, and they see your ring, you're going, hey, you belong somewhere else. And if you're with somebody you shouldn't be with, and they see the ring, they say, you belong to somebody else. So the ring is a symbol. Ain't that a big old ring? The ring is a symbol of belonging. And so the son had the ring put on his finger. Not only was it, you belong to me, not only was it, you belong in the family, but You now have all of my resources. You now are fully reinstated as the son. You have authority, you have power, and you have resources. So when God brings you and I into the family, he doesn't just say, yeah, you kind of messed up and you're second class now. He doesn't say that. He says you're fully accepted, you're fully restored, you're fully included, and I give you my ring, which symbolizes your mine, but it also symbolizes you have authority, you have power, and you have all of my resources. You see, when I put this ring on, it's everything that's mine is mine, and everything that's Kari's is mine. Oh, that wasn't the way the vow went? No, the vow was supposed to be, you know, for rich or for poor, sickness and in health, some of the old vows, all of my earthly goods I bestow to you. Have you ever heard that in a wedding? I bestow to you. And so there's resource, there's riches that's there. So God wants us to know that we're welcome home, we're welcome into the living room, but we belong there. I've been in some of your living rooms, and I felt very welcomed, but I knew I didn't belong. I just couldn't go to the fridge and rummage around and check out what's in the cupboards, go down to the cellar, you know, and lift up the couch cushions and see what's under there. And, you know, I didn't belong. I couldn't just wander into any room I wanted. I didn't belong. I was accepted. And sometimes we feel like God accepts us and we can hang out in the living room. But no, God says, you belong. Let me give you the robe. Let me give you the ring. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate because you're home now. You're home now. And this isn't just a level one celebration or a level one belonging or a level one acceptance. You are fully belonging. You are fully accepted. You're fully home. Let's have a party and celebrate that. So that's just some powerful things just to begin today talking about belonging. Creation is evidence of belonging. If we were created, then we have purpose. We have destiny. We're wanted. We're part of a plan. We're part of a family if we're created. If we are the cousins of monkeys, if we are the offspring of polywogs, if we are the Big Bang result of primordial ooze, we don't belong. We're not accepted. We're accidents. But we're not, right? Right? You guys believe in creation? You believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? So God created you, and if God created you, and if he wants you, he accepts you, you belong to him. Not belonging as in a you're his slave sense, but just the belonging of you're his son, his daughter. You're the heir in the family. You're one of those people. You belong. Praise the Lord. So I hope you know that creation is evidence that you belong. One of the things I just hate about evolution is if evolution's true, none of us belong. None of us matter. It is just survival of the fittest, dog eat dog, climb over each other, get what you want, can all you get. It's that kind of a world if evolution's true. And you know, the people that created evolution, they weren't thinking it out fully. I don't believe. They were just saying, we just don't want to be answerable to God, so there has to be an alternative way that we were here. And the thinking was, if we don't want to believe in God, and if we don't want to be answerable to God, if we don't want to have to obey God and serve God, if we just want to do our own thing and be free from our conscience and free of guilt, if we want that, we got to manufacture some other way that we are here than creation. So they wanted to manufacture evolution just so they could do whatever they wanted and try to be guilt-free with doing that. But they didn't think it out. If I'm not created, then I really don't have purpose. I really don't have destiny. I really don't belong. I'm not loved. I'm not valued. But if God created me, one of the things I love about the creation story is God formed man out of the dust of the earth. I just think of Plato, you know. And he's just, I'm not sure, you know, multiple colors and just kind of blended it all. And, well, make the arm and stick it on there, you know. And I just think of Plato and God formed us. I think he's probably a lot more creative than I am with clay. I think he's a lot more creative. Obviously, I'm looking at you. He's a lot more creative than I am. If I was the creator, you would all look like stick men. And it would be an ugly world. So God formed us out of the dust of the earth. And then how did we become the living soul? What did he do? He breathed into us. And I think of that personally as the kiss of God. When God put his mouth on our mouth, after he formed us, and he breathed into us. You were kissed into existence. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. I know my daughters were kissed into existence too, but I mean, that process kind of works over and over. Now, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that this morning, but you're the result of love. You're the result of wanted and belonging. You are, and I am, if creation's true, and I believe it is. Let's look at Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 5. But now thus says the Lord who created you, there we go, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. You want to talk about a sense of belonging? I created you. I formed you. Do not fear. You're mine. You're mine. Wow. You know, when I was a young boy and Dad was taking me in the woods hunting, hunting season's getting here, so maybe that's why I'm thinking about that, but I'm thinking about Dad taking me into the woods hunting. And when I'm with Dad in the woods, everything's cool. But when Dad leaves me in the woods to go chase, one day we walked down into the woods and Dad could smell the elk and we were on the ridge and they were down in the draw. So he said, you stay here, I'm going down there. And these demonic chipmunks were chattering at me for weeks, it seemed like. It was probably 20 minutes, but it seemed like for weeks. And the pressure got more intense and more intense and more intense, and I am scared to death until I yell out, Dad! And that really blessed his hunting trip. You know what I mean? If I feel like I'm alone, I am afraid. But here God says, I created you, I formed you, you're not alone, don't fear, I've redeemed you, I know your name, you're mine. You're mine, you belong. That's pretty cool. Verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Kind of like that old Kris Kristofferson song, I didn't promise you a rose garden. We're going to have some pain and some problems. We're going to go through some waters. But he said, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Sometimes we look at God and we say, why did you allow the waters to happen? And he just looks at you and says, I am with you in the waters. I'm with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom and Ethiopia and Seba in your place. God says, you are highly valued and prized above everything else. Above everything else. Verse 4 says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. Fear not, God says, you're mine. I'm with you. I'm with you. You belong. You belong somewhere. And it's really cool to belong. It is so cool to belong. I hope you know you do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God's blessed you. Maybe you don't even know it. Maybe you're not even aware of all of the blessings that you are blessed with. There are some days we don't feel so blessed. There are some days we wonder, God, where are you? That old hymn we used to sing is, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. If we would stop for a moment and just think about our blessings, life would improve a lot just doing that. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you know that you were chosen before the foundation of the world? Before the world was ever created, God knew you. He knew your name. He knew you would be here in 2010. I'm like 2 years behind. He knew you'd be here in 2012. He knows you, and he chose you. Some people say, well, I don't feel like I'm chosen. Life is so difficult, I really don't wish I wasn't even born, much less you say I'm chosen from the foundation of the world. And I know that life gets messy, and I know that we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He comes to steal and kill and destroy, and he's pretty good at it, isn't he? He's pretty good at it. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I know that. But you were chosen before the foundation of the world that you should be holy and without blame in before him in love. Having predestined us. Now predestination is a sticky wicket too, isn't it? So if we're predestined, does that mean we have no choice? Does that mean it's all figured out before we showed up and we're just playing a role that was already decided? That's not what he's talking about in predestination. The predestination that God really teaches in the Bible, that he really talks about, is you are chosen, you are called, I have a destiny for you, I have a plan for you, and I have a purpose for you, and if you will come to me, and if you will follow me, I'll get you there. I will get you there. But you do have a free choice to do whatever you want and get whatever result you get. You have a free choice. So the predestination is you're predestined to be saved. You're predestined to be with God. You're predestined to call him your father and call his place your home. You're predestined for all of that, absolutely. But you still get to choose whether you're going to get that or not get that. So that's what he's talking about. My plan, my purposes are very good for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. They're very good for you. You have a purpose and a destiny and expected end. I have that for you. Sometimes you mess it up. But just like he said in the verse we were reading earlier, I'm your redeemer. God being a redeemer says, I can take your mess and get you back on track. I can do that every time, all the time. I just love that about God. We don't always do everything right. I don't always do everything right. I don't always pastor right. I don't always lead my wife right or my children right. I don't always love them right. I don't always do everything right. But God says, Kelly, what I promise is that when you recognize that you've done it wrong and you come to me, that I will redeem you. I will redeem your time. I will redeem your relationships. I will redeem those situations for you. And I love that about God because he gets me back on track. That's what he talks about with predestination. It's a plan that he has that is an awesome plan. And if you'll plug into it, life's awesome. That's the predestination that he talks about. We're predestined and adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And verse 6 says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I just have always loved that verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 6. We are accepted in Jesus, in the beloved. We're accepted. One of the great things about Jesus dying on the cross is that his blood cleanses us from sin. so that when God looks at me, when I've confessed my sin and the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life, when he looks at me, he sees that I am accepted in Jesus Christ. The work of Jesus cleansed and sanctified me. Now when God sees me, he sees me through the blood of his Son, and he sees me holy and perfect, without sin, without spot, and blameless. Don't you love forgiveness? I love forgiveness. I love that. That's how we should forgive each other too. That same way. When we see them sanctified and cleansed. We see that situation better. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. In our daily Bible reading, we read that a couple months ago. Tomorrow we start in the book of Acts. So if you want to jump in with us and do our daily Bible reading with the Life Center, Acts chapter 1 tomorrow, and I think we end the month with James, if I'm not mistaken. It's there in your calendar. But Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So God is not a God of bondage, and he's not a God of fear, contrary to public opinion, right? Public opinion out there is God is a God of bondage. He wants to tie you down. He wants to hold you back. He wants to not let you have any fun. He wants to make you weird, and he's just this God of bondage. Or he's the God that's going to fry your butt in hell, and you better be afraid of him. He'll fry the rest of you in hell too if you're not careful. But so a lot of people look at either extreme. He's this God of bondage, and if I serve him, I lose my identity, I lose me, I lose myself, and life is gray and dismal. Or he's this God of going to fry my rear end, so I'm going to serve him out of fear because I don't want to be fried. But Paul is saying that isn't who God is. He's not the God of bondage or the God of fear. That isn't who he is. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So our God isn't bondage or fear. What if the prodigal son story ended differently? What if it ended, you jerk of a son, spent all of my inheritance, and now you come crawling back to me? Off to the stockade with you, and you're going to pay us back a dime a day in prison, crushing rocks, bondage. What if it ended that way? Wouldn't have been so cool, right? Or what if, yeah, you can come back, but I'm going to whip you once a day every day so you learn your lesson and you never forget. And just put the fear in him. What if it was that? But that wasn't what it was. It was, come home, you're accepted, and you belong. Here's the robe, here's the ring, here's the party. Let's go on with life now. You're accepted and you belong. So the Spirit of God is not bondage and fear, but the Spirit of God is a spirit of adoption. So we cry out, Daddy God, Abba Father. It's actually Father, Father. We cry out that. We say, this is my Father. This is somebody who loves me. This is somebody who has my best interest in mind. He's my Father. I'm his son or daughter. I belong to him. He belongs to me. And it goes on and it says, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wow, look at that. See, isn't that the belonging part? You're an heir. You just can't become an heir, can you? How many of you go and knock on lawyers' doors? I just wonder if there's any reading of the wills today. You guys have any reading of the wills going on this week? Because I'd like to become an heir. I just kind of like to insert myself in somebody's will. I know that there's probably somebody died, had something they left behind, and I kind of like to get in on that. You just can't make yourself an heir. I know some people that weasel in with others trying to get an inheritance. You don't want to do that either. And some people get accused of weaseling in on an inheritance when they didn't have any idea of doing that. It was just the person's gratitude to go ahead and put them in an inheritance. Trying to cover all my bases there, huh? But God says, my spirit is not bondage, and my spirit is not fear. My spirit is adoption. And if you're adopted, you become one of my children. And if you're one of my children, you become one of my heirs. You get power, authority, and resources. You're one of my heirs. Not only are you just an heir, you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now that just expands my mind a little bit. God says, not only am I an heir, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Jesus alluded to that quite often in his teachings. The power that I have, I'm giving to you. The works that I do, you shall do, and greater works than these shall you do. It's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit can't come to you. But when the Spirit comes, he's going to show you. He's going to lead you. He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. Jesus hinted to all of that we get to become the heir. We get what he had. That's pretty cool. As a Christian, I get the anointing, the power, the authority, and even the Spirit of Jesus inside of me. The Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Christ in several places. I get the Spirit of Christ inside of me. And so when people at Antioch pointed their finger and said, they're Christians, it wasn't a term of endearment, in case you don't know. In case you don't know, when they called us Christians, it wasn't a term of endearment. They act like little Jesuses, little Christ. And it says, hallelujah, I'll wear that badge proudly because I'm a joint heir with Jesus and I'm an heir of God the Father. So we're talking about belonging. If you have an inheritance, if you're part of the heir of the family, then you belong. In Psalm 27, verse 10, the New Living Translation says, even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And mothers and fathers should be the strongest sense of belonging. When I go in my mom and dad's house, I know I belong. I just walk in the door, hey, how you doing? Walk over to the refrigerator, pop a Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, whatever they got in there, you know. Check out the cupboard, you know. I can do that. I can use the main bathroom or use the back bathroom because I belong either way. Either way, right? If I go to your house, I'm not using the back bathroom. And I only use the main bathroom, you know, if you let me, or I'll have to leave quicker, one or the other. But God says you are so accepted and you so belong to me that even if your mother and father reject you, dismiss you, do not care for you, I will take you up. I will, because you belong to me. My children, I love them so much, but I'm keenly aware that God loves them more than I do. I'm keenly aware that they're God's children before they're my children. I'm just his partner in their life here, but they're really God's kids. I'm keenly aware of that, and I love that. Listen to this song today.
Change your
days
mind.
Will come when you don't
so
have
it's time
the strength
to make a choice. Yeah, you gotta
all
decide.
You really need,
you're not worth anything. Oh, it's a secret to life. Oh,
wondering
just
if you
your
ever
eye.
Could be loved. And if they truly saw, they'd see too much.
You're welcome to the Life Center.
You're beautiful. You are made for so much more than all of this. before. You are treasured, you are sacred, you are His, you're beautiful.
You guys know you're beautiful today, treasured, sacred. You belong to Him. You really do. Just a couple more thoughts this morning. There's something powerful in a spiritual belonging. You know, we've talked a lot about our physical belonging and creation and families and inheritance. There's something really special and powerful in a spiritual belonging. That verse in Romans that we read, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the sons of God. That includes the girls too. You're the daughters of God also. If you're led by the Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus is answering Nicodemus' question, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do? He told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. You know, Nicodemus is going, what? It really hurt Mom the first time. Be born again? How's that going to work out? He says, no, you have to be born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. So if we have to be led by the Spirit, if we have to be born of the Spirit, maybe there's two belongings. I just wanted to drop this idea into our heart, into our church today. Maybe there's two belongings. Maybe there's one belonging that is just you're physically here, you're created, you're God's children, you belong to Him, you're accepted. But I think there's a deeper belonging, a broader belonging that God's inviting us into. It's a belonging into His Spirit. It's a belonging of being born again. It's a belonging of being Spirit-led. It's the belonging of being Spirit-filled. That kind of a belonging. When I think about that a little bit, I think, you know, if somebody gives me the code to their garage door, that's a little deeper belonging than just opening the door and inviting me into their living room. Give me the code to your garage door. If you're going to give me the combination to your safe, that's a deeper sense of belonging, isn't it? I mean, none of you has given me the combination to your safe yet. So obviously I don't belong that much. If you would give me the PIN number to your credit card, your bank account, and I would know I would belong. I would really know. So God's inviting you and I into a belonging that is more than this casual surface, come into my living room belonging. He wants to give you His PIN. He wants to give you the garage door code. He wants to give you the code to His safe. And inside His safe are some marvelous, amazing things just for you. But you got to enter into that kind of a relationship with Him. You have to enter in. In John chapter 14, we use these words a lot at different occasions. Sometimes at funerals, we use these words a lot. This deeper belonging we're talking about gives you access to more than you could imagine, more than you could ever think. And God wants you to have this greater access. John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to leave. He's speaking to His disciples, but He speaks these words to us down through the generations. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He's trying to take them to a deeper level of belonging. You believe in God, cool. Believe in Me, Jesus. Believe in Me. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Believe in Me. He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I think God's mansions probably have better furniture than this. I mean, He's really saying, in My Father's house, there's plenty of room. In My Father's house, I'm preparing a place for you. Isn't that what He says here? And if I go, and He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus had that nesting syndrome. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Deep down, we know. Deep down, we know. We just kind of have to peel off those layers of debris that have been piled on top. But deep down, we know we belong to God. We belong with Him. We belong living a better life. We belong having better priorities than we currently have. We belong doing things that are eternally significant. We belong to something bigger and better than some of the stuff we do and are. Deep down, we know that. Satan tries to destroy that concept. Satan tries to say, you're not worth anything, you're not valuable, you'll never amount to anything, you're just an accident, nobody cares about you anyway, you've gone too far now. Satan works really hard to destroy this image of God, this image of belonging inside of you. But Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples, he says, "Where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas piped up and says, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Of course, what did Jesus say? "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And that sense of belonging that we have, this is the second layer or level of belonging. If you want to come to a prepared place, if you want to have the PIN number and the code to the safe, if you want full access to everything that I have for you, you must come through Jesus. And not just once say, "I believe in Jesus, I believe he died on the cross, I believe he's the Son of God, I believe he rose again the third day." Not just once or twice saying that. I mean, believe in Jesus. I mean, you know what Jesus says. You read the red letters in this book. You know what he says. You know what has been taught about him in the true church. And not, when I say the true church, I don't mean just the Life Center. I mean, man, globally, there is the Church of Jesus Christ, and there is some amazing teaching that has gone on for thousands of years and is still going on today about this Jesus Christ and this relationship. So you belong. You belong, just come into the living room. But kicking off your shoes and staying a while, that's another level of belonging. Some of you, I don't want you to take your shoes off in my living room. It's like, And there's some people, I don't want to take my shoes off in yours because you don't want to smell my feet. But if I belong in your family, it doesn't matter, right? Oh, a little bit it matters, but not a lot. But not a lot. So the conclusion today, I want us to know that we belong in a general way, and everyone's included in that, but I also want us to know we're invited into a deeper belonging, a deeper connection with God, where you can access things that will totally amaze you and will totally bless you. Right? Amen. Amen. So do I belong? Yes. Do you belong? Yes. Where do we belong? We belong with God. Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. I'm going to come and get you." We belong with God. We belong in his church. We belong with his people. We belong. Some people say, "Well, I wouldn't fit in at church. I don't have the right clothes. I say the wrong words." Nope, you belong here. They belong here. Someday I hope to have a church where all the ladies have to watch their purses because there will be people here that could steal your money. But they feel so welcome, and maybe they haven't got totally sanctified or holy yet, but they feel welcomed and loved. But if you leave your purse there, it's like, I'm not going to say what it's like. I'd get in trouble if I said that. It's it would be tempting them too much. I hope to have a church where everybody knows they belong and everybody feels welcomed and everybody can come before they're holy, before they're sanctified, before they got it all figured out. Anybody here got it all figured out yet? I don't. Anybody here totally holy, totally sanctified? I have the holiness of God and Jesus, but I still need that blood every once in a while, you know what I mean? But I don't want them just coming here and feeling like they belong casually. I want them to go much deeper than that. I want them to know they can get God's PIN number and they can get his access codes, but it's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through us seriously serving Jesus Christ. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas says, "I don't know." He says, "Yeah, I am the way. Yeah, I am the truth," Jesus says. Jesus says that I am the life. Nobody gets the Father's access codes without coming through me. Nobody. But anybody that comes through him, they're freely given. Praise the Lord. Who do I belong to? I belong to God. He's my Father. I'm his heir. I'm adopted. We're tight, God and I. I hope you feel that way. God and I, we're tight. We're close. He loves me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word today. Lord, there's some people here that really need to know they belong. And we need to go share this message with our whole world that they belong. There's some of us today that you're inviting us into a deeper sense of belonging, greater access to your things. And God, we want to say yes to that also. We want to follow that also. So we pray for that today. We pray that we would be people that would believe in Jesus wholeheartedly and would follow him with all of our heart and soul, mind, and strength. And God, I pray for people that Satan's damaged their image. He's damaged their life and tried to get them to think they don't belong and they're not accepted. Today, I thank you for restoring them, and restoring hope, and renewing and redeeming their life, getting them back on that destiny course, God. Amen. Amen.